Hell in a Cell has become a battlefield. So much blood, sweat, and tears shed tonight. It's going to be red hot, just like that cell was tonight. Stay tuned. We're breaking it down only here on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
The Dream Team is back for yet another pay-per-view. I'm your host, Gabby Loren, joined by none other than George Hermosa to my left, and to my right, Evan T. Mac. How are you guys doing tonight?
What up, girlfriend?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Did you enjoy the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I had a blast, you know what I mean? Shout out to George Hermosa over there. What up, boy?
What's up? How are you?
Having hey, red vines this evening.
I always have a good time with Evan on
our
panel.
Blast. You're my guy, man.
Dude. Of course, who doesn't have a good time with Evan? He's just a blast in a glass.
I think more than a bigger glass.
Yeah, a big glass.
I like all those slurpy cups.
Besides our differences with red vines versus Twizzlers, man, it is always a pleasure to see you, my friend.
Ditto.
You're doing good? Did you enjoy the pay-per-view?
I thought it was good.
Yeah. Not your favorite of the year?
It wasn't that.
I always have my thoughts about this specific pay-per-view, which we'll get into, but I mean, yeah. I think for what it was, I think it was good.
And what did you think, Evan, about the red cell tonight? That was a little different.
It was interesting. Yeah, I like change. You know, I'm not against change. You know, it popped. You know what I mean? Like, the only thing I always get offended by is, like, being live, and it's hard to see in the cage.
Yeah, I'm
looking
curious.
At the monitor. So I want to know how the fans think. Shout out to anybody in the chat that might see anybody that noticed, like, how their viewpoint was. You know what I mean? Because that's kind of hard to see in the cage.
See, I liked the color of it. It really popped. But the problem is, when you're looking at it from a camera outside of the cell, it gets a little distorted. And your eyes are kind of like, what's going on? Did you feel the same way, George?
A little bit. When they had that kind of wide shot where you saw everything, it was kind of a little like, I don't know, your mind playing tricks on you.
That's what I thought.
Right. And so it seems like we've added at least three additional pay-per-views this year to the WWE shows. It's a lot. We're constantly here in the studio covering them. Do you guys feel like Hell in a Cell is necessary?
I mean, it kind of goes into what I think as far as like every year you have those like pay-per-views where it's like you have to have Hell in a Cell. TLC, where it's like by just mandatory, where you have to have these pay per views, which means you can't have a Hell in a Cell pay per view without at least one or two Hell in a Cell matches. Mm. Which means there might be a match or two where it's like, does that match really need the cell? Remember back in the day when I was like, all right, Undertaker Shawn needed the cell, Undertaker Mankind needed the cell, you know, Foley and Triple H needed the cell, where it's like, I think Roman and Braun was pretty good as far as like, because they've had a lot of other matches, ambulance matches. I think they had like a last man standing matches. Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton, I think, as well. And I don't think the match needed, I don't think the build that needed to sell, but I thought the match itself was like, okay. It was kind of determined to watch at some points.
Yeah, they tore it down.
But yeah, I just kind of wish that there were, some of these matches had more of a build up that made the sell itself make sense.
Yeah,
as
that
part
makes
of
sense.
Stipulation.
And I mean, we've only really used the cell twice tonight.
Yeah.
Technically. Yeah. Two matches.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's so, what do you think, though? Should there be that pay-per-view, though? What would you do? Would you do away with it as a whole? Yeah. Or would you just make another pay-per-view? So you're just done.
Yeah. Cause especially because, like, every now and then they have it for Mania. They had it for Shane versus Taker. Mm-hmm. I think they had it for one more since then. But it just like, I don't know. I just feel like for example, Taker Shane was more special because it was like, well, they didn't have to have the match. It was like, all right, we're going to have it in a cell as opposed to like, all right, Hell in a Cell is coming up. What match can we put in the cell? You know, it's like, I don't know. I feel like they're forced to do it because of the name of the pay-per-view.
And remind me what pay-per-view it was where Jinder Mahal was in the Punjabi prison. Which one was that? Was that
Hell in a Cell? I think it was Battleground.
Yeah. So it was kind of like a Hell in a Cell in a way.
Yeah.
It was its own Punjabi prison.
Yeah.
Anyways, I thought it was a good pay-per-view, not my favorite pay-per-view. There's things I would have done differently. We only saw one title change tonight.
True.
But, I mean, overall, it was a fun event to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's necessary to have all these pay-per-views because I feel like right now we're being oversaturated.
There's a lot of wrestling going on.
Yeah, and we have two more, you know, coming up with Australia and Evolution. And even some rematches that are going to Australia, as we heard tonight. So it's going to be interesting. But speaking about, you know, to your point, George, the Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman match, since that was the main event, we do things a little out of order here, you guys. But we want to talk about the best first, or at least the biggest event first. Mm-hmm. We saw a surprise tonight. Special guest Brock Lesnar came out. Now, most of us didn't expect that. I don't know if there were rumors that he was going to be there, but essentially,
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, once he gave up his title, I think everyone just thought that he was going to UFC. So what did you guys think about him returning tonight?
I thought it was a fun surprise. Obviously, everybody thought that he was done for like a few months, yeah, maybe until after his fight with Daniel Cormier.
Oh my god!
So the fact that he was there was like, oh nice, like this is cool. I'm not gonna lie, I thought that match itself was kind of whack, to be honest with you. it wasn't. No, it's just because like.
What's your thing? What's your biggest takeaway from that kind of stuff? Like, why do you think that match feels stale at times?
Because it was like you take away the cell, and it would have the same impact that match would have had. It wasn't until I think when Ambrose and Rollins and McIntyre and Ziggler showed up, where I was like, all right, now it's getting good. You know, you got to top of the cage. That's where it's like, all right, cool, the cell match. But before they interfered, it was just like another match. It could have been like a steel cage match. It could have been, you know, a no holds barred match or whatever. It's like, I don't know. I don't think there was anything building up to that specific interference where it was like, well, yeah, this needed to be in the cell. Like, I never thought that until the interference came along.
But you're a Roman guy though, so
I like Roman, yeah.
Yeah, so how do you feel? You feel like they did tonight as far as being, you know, being in a cell with Braun, making that match like believable, passable, like holding his own against
compared Braun. To his other matches with Braun, I thought that match is whack.
Wow.
Because some of those other matches were just like, even I remember I think it was like Fastlane of last year.
Crazy.
Where it had like Braun Strowman coming off the top rope with like, and he missed like an elbow.
That was
but
awesome.
Just that visual of like a 6'8" guy coming off the top rope. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, that didn't need the cage, but I remember that. I remember Roman going for a spear and missing into the ambulance. I remember that. I don't think there's anything pre-interference, pre-Brock, that's going to make me memorable about this match.
Evan, did you like the match?
Yeah, it was pretty good as far as like when Brock coming out just like, you know, it's like defecating everywhere. It's always good to me. I'm all about kicking the cell door open, throwing ragdoll in people, like screaming. I'm like, Lord have mercy. All right, bro. This is why we like you here. So you understand, this is why we like you. We loved you when you just beat up people and walk away. Right. So it was good to see him, because the last time we seen him, you know what I mean? He was in bad shape. So it was good to see him come out, you know, kick ass, take names, and then just leave. You know what I mean? Right. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, Brock Lesnar definitely took it up a notch tonight. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed him coming out. Do you guys agree with the fact that, you know, all the fans are now loving the match since Brock came out? Or do you feel like the only reason this match was really having a chance at anything was because of Brock?
Yeah, it's crazy because I know what you're saying. Like, you know, the Twitter sphere, you know, and face chat and Snap Time and all that other stuff, man. They were on.
They all joined together.
They joined forces and they hate everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, so I think they do that because they know they're going to get trolled. This match is going to get trolled. I do. I think they bring out somebody or something because they don't even want to hear it. As much as they act like they don't listen, they listen. There's somebody on that social media be like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. All right, this is bothering people. Let's just, you know what? Let's bring Brock out. Well, and I thought it was kind of cool.
Something that might have bothered people was the fact that this match was no contest.
Gross.
Do you feel like there should be a winner for these types of matches?
When they put like the credits thing at the bottom, I was like, what's the lower third? I kid you not. I was like, is it over? I said, this is not. I was looking at my clock. It wasn't even 8. I was like, wait a minute. Hold on.
More so because it's like, it's a Money in the Bank cash in. Now it's a failed cash in. I'm sure Braun was out, you know, or, you know, kayfabe speaking, he was out. But I'm sure like he didn't appreciate, well, yo, you just messed up my Money in the Bank. It's not like I can get an automatic rematch.
Absolutely not.
This was my cash in, you know? So, and I mentioned pre-show where I was like, you had the ref who literally got thrown off a cage and thrown through a cage still through thumbtacked and still was able to finish
Mick
the match.
Foley.
Yeah, you got Mick Foley. And then you have a guy, you know, Brock Lesnar. Granted, it's Brock Lesnar, beat him up with the table scraps and F5. So it's like, so what? That's going to end up as a non-finish, but Mick Foley getting thrown off and through the cage is going to, oh, match continues. The guy's practically dead in there. Oh, you know what? Continue the match.
I've got a question. Do you think they knew they were going to do this with Braun? Because it's a waste of money in the bank. You know what I mean? Because if you're trying to tell me like Braun could always get the title because he's Braun, like why give him the Money in the Bank then? Why not give that to another wrestler, like, you know, like a Big E or like somebody else? Like, if you know you're gonna take, do you think they knew they were gonna take it from him all along, or do you think it just came up?
I think that's a really good question.
I have an idea about that one. I think that there's a reason behind it. There's a storyline here that they want to continue with, and we have pay-per-views coming up like Australia, so they're clearly taking a lot of these matches from tonight and pushing it.
So, like, taking away the Money in the Bank, so there's no, like, is he going to cash in? Like, so the cash in's over.
Right.
And that's, like, all the intrigue's gone with
but
that.
But they have to continue this story because there's no finale.
Yeah, that's true.
There was no conclusion. So,
no
I think
contest.
They're going to... Yeah, because it was no contest, I think they're going to put this into Australia's pay-per-view and figure out another way to work around it where maybe there's another title opportunity. Hopefully not a no contest.
Is it going to be a triple threat with Brock?
In Australia? Maybe. They don't need to sell that one. That's going to sell out. Them Aussies, just they're hungry, man.
It's like 90,000 people.
Though. They're hungry for really? A WWE event. My Aussies down there are hungry.
I think it's possible for a triple threat. But at the same time, Brock doesn't need to get involved again. I think he did his part by making it a no contest.
Because we clearly see, like, anything now. Because honestly, I was hooked. I fell for it. I thought Brock wasn't going to show up until January, February, maybe even May.
Me too.
You know? I was like, all right, wait, what? He's what? What? You know? So the fact that, like, you know, you get that. And I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe he isn't going to go to UFC. Maybe that was a scam, you know? Maybe that was the conversation, you know?
Keeping with that, do you see him in a title picture again though? Like,
or he gets in a rematch. He still has a rematch.
Like winning a title. Like, do you think
he's
run?
Not, dude. I hope he doesn't win the title. I like the title being on the line. You know,
and he just goes away again for like 7 months.
Yeah.
Well, there was another match tonight that also had a controversial ending, and I'm sure we all know what that one is. It was AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship for the SmackDown roster. What did you guys think about this? It was a little bit shocking, the events that played out.
Oh, man. I feel like this. Those guys burn it down, man. They've been doing it for years. This is the kind of stuff that I like to see. This is my favorite match of the night. Not the best match of the night, my favorite match of the night. I like the creativity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like, if you want to keep the title on there, listen, they've already like eradicated the CM Punk thing. That was, I got it. We getting that. It's over now. So like to come up with a way, an innovative way for him to like not win the title, I thought it was cool. Because he has like a beef now and he complained. It keeps this saga going. I don't know what you think, George, but how do you think about how you like the finish?
I mean, the fact that it was a finish, but also like it continued, it makes both guys look strong. And we've seen it before with Undertaker, Kurt Angle, No Way Out 2006, where you had Kurt Angle and like a triangle but still ended up pinning Undertaker at the same time, or things aren't actually hitting the tap. But then we had a like Undertaker Brock, remember when Taker tapped but then the ref didn't see it and Brock tapped out. But I like this. It's kind of like I know AJ had like a post-match interview online that I haven't seen yet. I kind of want to see what it's, because you saw Joe was pissed, you know, and obviously it set up the Australia show. But I like that it keeps Joe strong, because at the end of the day he does have a legitimate case that he made AJ tap out before the count of three. You know, so I like that it kind of kept it going, and it didn't wasn't there was no shenanigans, there was no there was no non-clean way, and just the fact that they both guys still looked insanely strong after this makes me look forward to their Australia matchup.
Does Joe get, I mean, does AJ get through this, George? Does he get through this with like conquering Samoa, or does Samoa get the title?
A part of me wants AJ to like beat now Brock's record, I guess you can say, of the modern day champion. But man, like, it'd be awesome to see Joe, man. Like, Joe is the 51st WWE champion. Like, here's a guy 10, 12 years ago, Gabby, and I'm sure you're aware of this too, where like he sent feelers to WWE. Mick Foley was trying to get him into WWE, but obviously different time then, where it's like, oh, he doesn't have the body type. You know, Samoa Joe, you know, he's going to be better in TNA. Where it's like, now it's like, dude, now he's a WWE champion. Like, I think that itself is a story. Incredible. Where it's like, I want to see. But it's like, but either way, it's win-win.
Yes.
You know, you're going to see AJ hopefully be like a 500-day champion. Or you're going to see a badass guy like Samoa Joe be champion, that's going to be even more awesome.
That's a win-win.
And especially him as a heel, like, you may be seeing against him versus Bryan for the belt.
Wow.
You know, and maybe it's a rematch with him and AJ. And just, I think there's a lot of good, cool possibilities.
So I haven't seen this interview that AJ did post-match, but, you know, SmackDown's coming up on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Do you guys feel that on Tuesday AJ will admit to having unfairly defeated Samoa Joe, or will he deny that he ever was, you know, in the wrong for winning?
Yeah, I think he might just kind of be like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, you lost, I'm still the champion. You know, it's the house that AJ Styles built, you know, yada, 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 so on and so forth. But I think what's so crazy, I don't know, it's hard to believe this, but I think we're going to get even more aggressive Samoa Joe on Tuesday, which is crazy to me, because he has been in a groove, man. I'm telling you right now, WWE, like, y'all missed the boat on that. Don't tell me he wasn't ready. That dude is on another level, man. Like, he's staking his claim as one of the best wrestlers in the roster in the last 10 years. It's unbelievable. So I think we're going to get him more aggressive Samoa Joe, especially if AJ comes out and doesn't admit he was like, he lost.
Did anybody like have Wendy's at all in all that time where he was calling out Wendy? I'm like, ooh, Wendy sounds so good right now. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that worked for you.
We all know Wendy's got a bomb ass Twitter.
Wendy's plays
Wendy's Twitter, dude.
They roast everyone. Shout out, listen, if y'all have ever seen Wendy's Twitter, go on Wendy's Twitter. Twitter. They roast every fast food company. Yeah.
But whoever runs it is like a big wrestling fan too.
It's so good. Because
they make all these wrestling references too.
They cut promos on everybody.
That's funny. Not to get too detailed about Wendy's, but do they still make Frosties?
Yes, they do. They got a 50-cent small Frosty right now.
Dip some fries in the Frosties. Seriously? Dip some fries in the Frosties. Do it. You're welcome.
I'm not okay with that.
Dabs, you gotta try that. Dude.
Hey, no, I want to know what the chat thinks.
We're getting way off track. Yo, chat roll.
French fries in a milkshake or a Frosty?
Talk about it, chat roll.
Yeah, let us know.
Gabs, you got to treat yourself. So
first listen. We did where's the Red Vine Twister. Hell yeah, dude.
We're on the same page.
I'm glad we agree with fries in a milkshake.
Yo,
I'm more of an In-N-Out girl, but you know.
You can
now
do that too.
You
can dip those fries in the milkshake too.
No, I'm not down with that.
A Neapolitan off the rails. Shake. Gab, you got to. Do not knock it till you try it. A little dip, a little salt, a little sweet.
Well, there's certain things I would never do. That's one of them. And another thing is get in the ring with Ronda Rousey.
Oh, no.
Ronda Rousey had a match tonight with Alexa Bliss for the championship. And I just want to know what you guys think about Ronda being matched up with Alexa Bliss in the first place.
I've gone on record. I don't know if I was too into detail about their SummerSlam match, but I hated that match. Hey. I was not a fan of that match at all.
No
like, looking back, I think like, you know, covering right after the show, I was like, I was okay. But looking back, I hated that match. And this is coming from a big Alexa. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows how much I think highly of Alexa Bliss.
I love Bliss and Rousey, but the thing about it is I just didn't like how as great as Alexa's run was.
Yeah.
And the people she's beat with her intelligence, like they made her cower in the ring. They made her,
but
like,
she's a champion. Oh, and when Stephanie McMahon gave Ronda a better challenge than the Raw Women's Champion, who's on her fifth title reign,
I was not happy about that. Like, so, they made Alexa Bliss look so weak.
So I was hoping that this match was going to be a complete redemption of that match, and I think it absolutely was.
Yes.
I think this was the match that should have been at SummerSlam.
Absolutely.
I think this was the more back and forth, like, you know, Alexa being Alexa. You know, she's a heel, she's conniving, but she's also really smart, using her intelligence.
Right.
She's a champion and really finding ways to, you know, weaken Ronda. And I think this match is far above better than their SummerSlam match.
100%.
And I know it's a little bit off topic, but can we just talk about Alicia Fox and her outfit on the side of the ring and like what she's been doing on Raw lately?
You still trying to steal Christian's closet. Listen, shout out to Gabby's closet.
Walk-in closet, get it right. But no, she
good.
Reminds me of Beyonce.
Yeah,
like, or Rihanna. I feel like she should be a music artist. What is she doing on the side of the WWE ring?
She has upped her outfit game, and that's for damn sure.
Yeah, I just had to bring that up because, girl, you are killing it. I don't know who that designer is, but good job. Crazy.
Side note,
sure.
So what do you guys, yeah,
I was a girl,
note.
Listen, that's when like, man, like the men were like,
yeah.
Yep.
It's really intense.
Yeah.
But we'll be like, yo, you know, AJ Styles, his gear was on fire.
Yeah,
you know,
like a dude like Mandy was jacked today, man.
Yeah.
He ripped.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, Dolph Ziggler talking about outfits, his pants tonight had Beverly Hills on that. Did
Please
you
no
see
man.
It?
Yeah.
He's had that for a while, though.
Has he?
Yeah.
I guess I never read what was on there.
You weren't looking at those butts?
But, like, who exactly is the city of Beverly Hills, like, representing him, endorsing him?
He's representing.
That's great.
Beverly
Good for
Hills.
You.
That's
the
my guy.
Best
though,
city in Los Angeles.
That's my guy.
I don't know, man. Van Nuys is pretty up there.
Van Nuys?
Yeah.
I don't know how many people would agree with
you
on that.
You ever seen that Van Nuys tourism video?
That's pretty good. You got Beverly Boulevard is lit, though. Beverly, man.
You guys, most people are probably listening right now, and they're like,
what
is Van Nuys? Never heard of Van Nuys.
Listen,
listen,
the chat room is all about that Frosty Fry thing.
Oh, are they?
Gabby, what's up?
What's up?
All right, well, we'll just have to hear from you guys if you like it.
What's up?
Well, I mean, I did like the Ronda Rousey-Alexa Bliss match tonight. I really love these two fierce women's personalities in the ring. You have, like, your top UFC person who just got signed, who's now going against one of the top wrestlers and personalities in WWE.
Absolutely.
So I'm never going to shy away from something like that. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
What do you guys think is next for Ronda? We'll start with you, George.
That's tough because it's like she beat Alexa. I mean, maybe Nia Jax now that Ronda's champion. I know I heard rumors about Nia coming back sometime soon. I'd like to see her and Mickey go down. Like Mickey, I think she's so experienced.
Yes.
I think she can give Ronda an amazing match.
I'm not sure how I feel about Mickey, but I could totally see Nia Jax, especially right now. She's getting a lot of really good heat outside of the ring, too.
Yeah.
She's being nominated for awards. I think People's Choice Awards.
Yeah.
So she's doing a really good job. What about you?
Especially the match they had her and Ronda. I mean, it was a really good match. And it's one of those things where if it's not Nia, I know everyone's trying to rush to like the Baszler thing and try to make that happen sooner than it's supposed to happen. I think she still has a little more time for that. I don't know the build yet. The Nia Jax thing could be cool. The Mickie James thing could be cool
although,
if they build it right.
Although I do kind of have a little bit of complaint. Is that like you have Stephanie McMahon, right? She's always on the phone. tone with, I guess not Constable Corbin, but now he's like acting general manager Corbin. You know, he's getting rid of Kurt Angle, giving him a vacation, maybe even like, you know, kicking the Shield out of the building. Mm-hmm. Dude, why doesn't she give like more, like, I guess the opposite, more hate toward Ronda. Ronda like broke her arm a couple times.
That's,
you know,
always a problem when they do that.
But it's like, yeah, why doesn't he try to stack the odds against Ronda?
Or at least they make her life a little.
Yeah, like he'll just ignore the fact that, yo, like, she's not on TV. I mean, kayfabe reason, like, she's not on TV because of you, dude. Because
I think a cool idea, because she's like so polarizing and she's so dominant, they should do like a gauntlet match, like make it like it's a punishing thing. Yeah. But it could put her over and give more women a chance to wrestle. Yeah. Like, you could run a gauntlet tonight. You gotta fight this person, this person, this person, this person, this person.
But I heard the rumors, what, Nikki Bella?
Oh.
Against Ronda?
Yeah.
Evolution? I think for Evolution, yeah.
Oh, which that's cool.
I don't even know if that's a rumor anymore. I feel like that's confirmed.
It'll draw. Listen,
I will say Nikki Bella, I think Nikki Bella has done as much for Women's Evolution than Charlotte, she Becky, Bayley, Sasha. Like, either. I think she... Wait, what? What do you mean?
My shake was not because I necessarily disagree, but I think a lot of people out there in the WWE universe would disagree. Well,
they're going to disagree with a lot of stuff, but
they're wrong about that, though.
It's because they're haters on reality TV. And listen, Nikki did more work, I think. I mean, she's great in the ring, but she did a lot of work outside of the ring, yes, bringing attention to the Women's Evolution. Yeah. So that's where I can like praise her for what she's done. But a lot of people hate on that because they're not into that whole scene and they only focus on what's going on in the ring.
Bringing more.
And especially more like that tag match with, I know Brie had a couple botches, but like, you know, Nikki looked good in that match.
Good.
Nikki looked really, really good in that match.
But bringing casual eyes to wrestling is a job, guys. Like, yeah. Don't know about that. Like, bringing that person that's, I didn't think I wanted to watch wrestling, and then they see Total Bellas and they're like, oh, wait a minute. And then they start watching wrestling. That's what it's about, being an ambassador, like on and off the court, on and off the ring.
That is true. I don't think most people actually realize that.
She's box office. First ballot Hall of Famer, Nikki and Brie Bella, by the way.
And then not only that, but even when she's taking time off from the ring in her matches, she's still doing WWE work. She's at all the appearances. She's at most of the shows. And she's doing stuff for YouTube in partnership with WWE.
And she always had WWE there. Because remember when Eva Marie, when she was there, and like, you would look at her Instagram and you would never thought that she was a wrestler.
No question.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude,
it's because she was literally only focused on her own business. Yeah, that's why.
But it's like, dude, don't forget why you even have that many. I mean, you're hot. Don't get me wrong, but don't forget why you have such a following, because you got that exposure on Total Divas and WWE.
Yeah. Well, two other fierce women who had a championship match tonight was Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch from SmackDown. What did you think of this match, Evan?
I loved it because, you know, Becky's she's in a groove right now. She's in the best shape of her life. She's the best I've seen her on a mic in a while. The heel turn is always great, though, when it's unexpected. I like it, and she won the damn title. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking of heel turn,
biggest takeaway, like, my goodness, she won. Like, I think part of people were thinking, like, it's going to be a hard-fought battle, and then Charlotte's going to pull it off. Like, I watched the crowd reaction. They're kind of like, okay. Like, she won, and they kind of were like, all right, and they started chanting Becky. So, but the match was good. Like, I think Becky, like I said, she's somehow better at wrestling now. She's better than she was before. Charlotte always put together a good match. Unfortunately, this is like a setup where I swear they're like trying to get her to 16 titles, like her dad. It's like they're like trying to do that, because goodness gracious, she's about to win it again probably in like a month. You know what I mean? It's like, good Lord, she's like 18 titles already. It's like, George, what you saying over there? I know you don't got a little, what's going on? What's your thoughts on Charlotte Flair?
So here's, that's not so much what happened. I just think it's more, I do want to hear what you guys have to think. Or where it's like, all right, in the past month, everybody's been upset, like, oh, what is Becky doing? She shouldn't be turning heel. She's a babyface. She's legit. She's whatever, you know? But, like, I look at the reaction of this match and how the crowd was and how I thought this match was amazing.
I did too.
Is that... Are they really booking it incorrectly? Because you get that reaction, and it's like, it almost as if, like, if you give the fans what they want, they're not going to want it anymore. You know, I feel like maybe sometimes, I don't feel like they always do it on purpose, but I feel like maybe sometimes you get like an accident and it's like, all right, I kind of see what we're going to do now. Yeah. Like the whole Daniel Bryan thing. Yeah. You know? Like that was unintentional, because, but obviously, like, they went, you know.
Because it was like Batista. Like Batista was going to have his nice run. Yeah. You know? Even though Batista wanted, he didn't want to win the Rumble. Yeah. Like he just wanted to be in like the title match. And then all of a sudden, Daniel Bryan caught steam and it worked out. You know, so I know what you're saying, but like, because if the fans react this way, did they book it wrong?
Yeah, because I thought the crowd was so hot for this match. I was like, they were back and forth, and even like, even more so, like giving love for Becky. It's like, yo, they need to keep booking Becky exactly the same way. If this is the reaction that she's gonna get, and especially when she got that pop for the title win, it's like, yo, like they're doing something right.
Yes,
you know. So I absolutely loved everything about this match. Again, I just think it was funny how like people were complaining how the booking of the match or booking of each character was, but it's like, are they really doing it incorrectly if this is the reaction that they're getting?
What do you think, Gabs?
With WWE's audience and fans in the corner of Becky Lynch, do you guys believe that Becky Lynch is going to be a heel forever, or will she be turning back face soon?
I don't think she's a heel.
So you don't believe she's ever turned heel?
They didn't change her music anymore.
No, I think after SummerSlam, I think they were like, all right, we're going to turn her heel, right? She's going to turn. And then they saw the reaction. They were like, I think they indirectly said, we're going to keep doing the same thing, knowing that it's going to even get a bigger reaction of the crowd that, you know, so think, how am I trying to say it? It's like Austin, where it's like, where he kept doing heel things.
He never officially
turned babyface. He just kept doing the same thing over and over again, where it's like, and the crowd kept getting louder and louder and louder.
Where Ziggy was supposed to be heel, but like, he was never being face. Ziggy's still doing the same thing. His damn, like, the Twitter thing is like, heel Ziggler, you know what I mean? Like, but he was getting so much pop. They're like, he's a babyface. And I'm like, never really was, though. He's like a true heel now.
And, even like Becky, like, she never went out there and healed the fans.
It's true.
You know, she just kind of, hey, like, and I like it too, because like it's about the belt. Like, they made the belt important. They made the championship, because it is about the championship. It's like, yes, we're friends, but you know what? When it comes to the championship, our friendship's pretty much done.
That's a fair point.
I like that. I like the fact that they made it about the title. And again, I think they tried it with Becky, but they were like, let's just see how it goes.
But you would agree it was a heel act when she like beat the brakes off of Charlotte, though, for like an hour.
Yeah.
That was like a heel act.
I mean, it's like, I feel like that's what their intention was, but it was like, but after like 10 seconds, you were like, I kind of see why she's beating up Charlotte. I kind of get it. I get it, Becky.
Is it almost comparable to Braun Strowman's character, where he wasn't necessarily always considered a heel until recently, but he did things like beat up Kevin Owens in a porta potty and all kinds of other stuff, where he almost seemed heel-ish, but was still a babyface?
It's interesting.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, I liked it. I thought it was a great match, great booking. I love Becky Lynch. I predicted that she was going to get this title, and I'm happy she did.
Me too.
And I hope she retains for a very long time, because we've already seen Charlotte Flair do this. We don't need to see her any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations, Becky. And I wouldn't be opposed if she stayed heel for a little bit and then went back to babyface, because I think she turned heel. Just saying. Especially when she beat her up on SmackDown on Tuesday.
Oh, God, yeah. I was like,
from
Lord.
The audience in a wig.
Like, Becky,
I mean, come on.
Becky, that's heel all day right there.
That is heel all day. She went out of character, too.
But what, I mean, if you're a heel, but you have everybody cheering you, are you still a heel?
That's the thing.
Or now are the audience turning heel?
That's the thing. I don't know, man, because that's crazy. You're right, though, because like, when you're so over, like, they're supposed to boo you.
Yeah. That's like Roman. It's like all these people are like, I hate Roman because he's going to be a bad guy, so I'm going to boo him. Okay, so he's already healing your mind.
Like I said before, man, the Roman booing thing is just getting ridiculous now. Like I said before, like I said, the whole thing was seen. It was cute to begin.
Yeah.
But like, when he starts putting together a couple good matches and stuff like that, like, yeah, I lighten up on Roman. Mm-hmm. He took his lumps, right?
Mm-hmm.
He lost like a wide. Like, leave Roman alone. Leave that poor Samoan alone.
I mean, I brought this up on SmackDown before. I think they're reacting the way they are in supporting Becky, because Charlotte did something, not necessarily evil, but she wasn't being a good friend. She overstepped her place, crossed boundaries, took an opportunity away from Becky, and hurt Becky as a friend. So Becky is not feeling good, and Becky wanted to get this championship. She's worked hard for it. She deserved it. So I don't think her actions are necessarily, or at least in the beginning, were totally heel-like. They were just justifiable.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the WWE Universe is still on her side, because they're justifiable heel action.
Yeah, do you also think it's because, like it's literally a real feeling? Like, they're like kind of just like, Becky, they want Becky to win. You know what I mean? You think it's like, kind of a combination of that? Like,
I think
it's Becky Lynch.
I don't want to get too, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I don't want to speak for anyone.
Yeah.
But I feel like we've all been there with Becky.
Yeah.
You know, where we had that friend that kind of like, like, I don't want to say it's better than in any way, but just kind of like that gets all those opportunities that we should be getting. And I don't mean because Becky puts in the work.
Tell it like it is, George.
It's not like Becky doesn't put in the work. Now you have Charlotte, you know, with nepotism and, you know, being a flair and being the having the pedigree and all that. And it's like, I think in some ways we all kind of have that friend, even Absolutely. If we don't even know it. Even if we don't even know it. So I feel like we all can relate to Becky the same way we related to Brian, the same way we related to Austin.
That's what
you know?
I think a part of it is.
Yeah. So I think that's why. In some ways, as much as we may think that Becky's a heel, I think it's more, not so much a face heel, it's just more we relate to her because we've been there.
And I think the best way to describe it with one word would be the underdog.
Yeah.
So essentially, she is the underdog, just like Daniel Bryan was, and people want her to come out on top. And she did tonight. So good job, Becky Lynch. We also saw tonight the total Bella's team versus Miz and Mrs.
You think that's Miz and Mrs.?
Yeah, of course I do.
It's a fun show.
It is. So fun,
it's well done. They do a good job.
It makes me love Miz and Maryse even more.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Marjo?
Yeah, actually, I think she's really funny. I think she's a character. Yeah. That's for sure.
I like that it's not an hour long, too. I think it's like, you know, short
it goes
sweet.
By so fast.
Yeah, short and sweet. And
it keeps
good.
You wanting more end of the day.
It's a good idea.
Do you like Marjo, George?
I'm a big fan of Marjo. I wish I could have been one of those cowboys that were dancing for her.
Seriously.
Would you take Marjo out on a date?
I would take Marjo out on two dates.
Oh, I love that.
Shout out to Marjo.
Yeah.
So you date the Cougars then, huh? He's just laughing. I didn't even get a response.
He laughed it off.
That means he does take Cougars. Just FYI for anyone wondering.
Oh, God.
Well, this match was really interesting. We get to see, you know, the two different reality star teams play out against each other. It's funny because back in the day, you would see couples, especially husbands and wives, mm-hmm. kind of being destroyed on WWE storyline. And today, they're actually keeping them together for the better. So I'm loving it. I'm a fan of Total Divas and Miz and Maryse. So I thought it was a great match, playing on both sides. We saw the men, though, doing most of the legwork.
Yeah.
But some good character work from both Brie and Maryse.
Shout out to Maryse, though, because like she had a kid, 5 months ago, and she's already back in there.
Fiddle's a fiddle.
Like,
both
Jesus.
Of them, man. These girls. I mean, honestly, losing that baby weight must be so difficult just because it's a whole lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they still have babies at home at the end of the day, so the fact that they're able to get back.
Some women can't even lose that, like, hamburger, you know, that hamburger weight, you know? That fries and milkshake weight, you know?
Yeah, that
Wendy's frosty.
Yeah, that Wendy's frosty.
Just saying.
But shout out to like any woman that you know, put, you know, does any of that stuff. But I don't. I'm a really big fan of this feud. I like this feud a little bit better than the Cena Nikki. Even though I like the whole Total Bella.
Like
BS,
the promos cuts were like amazing.
Yeah, those were good. I wish that this had a little bit more of that.
Because they were awesome.
Yeah.
Trolling Cena and stuff like that was awesome.
Bro. Yeah. So I kind of wish it had a little bit more of that. I mean, we saw a little bit more fire from promos, you know, for SummerSlam, building up for SummerSlam.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we didn't see as much, maybe just because there was only, 3 weeks between the last hold-up. Yeah. So for what it was, I was a big fan of this match. I liked it. I think on the last after show for SummerSlam, I said that I don't think Bryan should beat Miz anytime soon. I think it should build up maybe for like a big win, maybe even for the championship at some point down the road. So I think completely the right team won tonight.
So you actually felt that Miz and Maryse were going to come out on top before you found
out? I couldn't have predicted it. I just feel like it was the right decision. It would have been the right decision. I think it was the right decision, the fact that Miz and Maryse won. Especially because like you can't have them always lose. Like I don't think they should have beat Cena. I don't think they should have lost to Cena and Nikki at WrestleMania. But clearly, that was all set up for the proposal. But I like the fact that now you have Miz and Maryse kind of at least getting a win together.
Yeah.
Well, not only like the proposal, but I feel like whoever is technically doing the most at WWE at the time is going to get the win, especially when it comes to all these like outside business ventures. Mm-hmm. So
that
right
makes
now,
sense. To keep them on TV more,
and have a storyline when it comes to the TV show. And I feel because Miz and Maryse, their show is being promoted so hardcore right now, especially on SmackDown, like they're going to get the win, no matter what. I already predicted that from the get-go. What about you, Evan?
But it's interesting, though, because it's one of those things where I like what you're saying, George. It's like the thorn in like Daniel Bryan's side. It'd be good if he just keeps bugging him. He's been sticking in his craw since when he was injured, and he's on Talking Smack, and he would just keep driving that knife into him. So it's good that he keeps losing. So this big payoff, whether it's Survivor Series, whether it's WrestleMania, and I think it'd be really good if he really gets over that hump. Because it's good to keep Daniel Bryan kind of low in a feud because you're like, okay, why is he not in a title picture? Mm-hmm. Oh, because he's still dealing with Miz.
Yeah.
And I would love, man, I would love those guys getting a title shot, though. That's me thinking way outside, though.
Because I always thought that, too. I thought, you know, months ago before Money in the Bank, I thought Miz wins Money in the Bank.
Oh, my God.
Miz wins Money in the Bank. Nakamura beats AJ. Daniel Bryan beats Nakamura. Miz cashes in on Daniel Bryan, building up for Mania.
I would kill for that exact sequence. Yeah. Oh, man.
And here we are today.
Man, you see how he just brought up that scenario as well.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. Because I always think about the whole Tommy Dreamer Raven from ECW, where, like, Dreamer never beat Raven until the end.
Yes.
And it just made that win so much more memorable and so much more emotional. Even though, yes, he beat Miz, like, you know, back in the day. But this is, like, a different... Two completely different people, you know. Yeah. They've totally evolved. So now that you have, you know, essentially Bryan, who, you know, is Daniel Bryan, one of the best wrestlers on the planet, that can't beat Miz in a wrestling match.
Right.
You know, it's going to make... I mean, I love Miz overall, but, like, it's going to make me want to see Bryan just to win that much more. And the fact that, like, you're going to dangle that carrot and take it away. Like, I don't know. I just think that's... I hope that Miz keeps beating Daniel Bryan.
Hmm. Well, speaking to surprise... teams and partners and things of that such. Dolph Ziggler is now partnering up with Drew McIntyre against Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, who's finally back.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think overall of this match?
Man, I'm all about this. These guys, listen, I don't know what the hell this is, man, but Drew, but it's amazing. Like, Drew McIntyre is obviously like, I don't want them to lose those titles. I don't know if ever is a time, but can, like, never, ever. Ever lose those titles. And because, like, Ziggler, to me, you know, he was in that because he's in this little, in wrestling limbo. Mm-hmm. He was just, you know, not in the title picture. Got the IC title for a little bit, lost it, but I like this. Do you think this is like a throw together tag team? Or do you think are you just like, you know, let's give Drew McIntyre something to do?
I mean,
but it's working out. Like,
it's working out, yeah. Because I mean, you saw like kind of Drew McIntyre just randomly show up for that. Was it the Superstar Shakedown? Yeah. And just kind of like, all right, or whatever, you know, let's put them together. But it kind of fits, you know. It just kind of fits together. I remember back in the day, you had like Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre as a tag team partners back in the day, and I was like, I mean, it was whatever, you know.
But to your point though, like that shot, I don't know, who came up with that idea. That shot of him carrying Ziggler out, that was my favorite part the whole night because he's like this big goon, man. But he's a great wrestler. And he's like this goon, and he's like, and like Ziggler's just selling, he's like dead. And then like Ziggler, he has the belts, and he's fireman's carrying him out like he's a piece of paper. And he like turns, looks back. I'm like, oh man, those guys are built for this.
But
man,
I love the fact that Ambrose and Rollins kind of picked up where they left off, even though they're big single stars. Because last year, those matches against The Bar, like, did you go to No Mercy last year?
No, I missed No Mercy.
Man, the matches against The Bar were like insane. Man. And so the fact that we can see that not just with The Bar, but now we're going to see them with Ziggler and McIntyre, like, man, like I can watch those two guys wrestle.
Was that your favorite match of the night? Or you think that was the best match of the night?
This one or the women's match?
Yeah, those were my
top two. Honestly, if you make me choose, I'd go with the tag match. I'd go with the Raw tag
really
match.
Good nice. Match.
Yeah.
Well, I really liked the ending to this when Rollins was attempting his superplex Falcon's arrow combination on Ziggler. And then McIntyre, who definitely was a ride or die tonight, interrupted nailed Rollins in the face with Claymore as he was lifting Ziggler in the air for the second half of the combo. So I loved it. Great job. Great way to end and win the match. And then, you know, to what we talked about before, Drew McIntyre left the ring with Ziggler over his shoulders and carried his teammate out. So that's the only way to find a good partner, really, when they're
any one of those guys
there for you like that. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious if they're going to do the whole, like, champion versus champion again at Survivor Series. Because I wouldn't mind seeing, like, Ziggler and McIntyre against, like, New Day.
Be awesome. They always gonna put together a good match. I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
But exactly, we'd have to wait for a shakeup for that because they're on different rosters. So I don't know how soon that's gonna happen.
I mean, Survivor Series, champion versus champion.
Yeah, you know? I like that idea.
Yeah, possibly. Or, we can always hope
if they keep it how it is now. Seth Rollins versus Nakamura. IC champ versus US champ.
We can do that. Stop booking these matches, George. They don't do these matches.
I know they got two pay per views before that, but man. Like, I hope they both keep their championships in.
Towards getting my hopes all up, booking matches.
Dude, Rollins, Nakamura.
Oh, my God.
Damn, dude.
So good.
Well, Nakamura, anything is good, but just saying. Knock America. You guys, I don't know how I feel about this next match we're about to talk about, but Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton. There were times where I was so into it. There were times where I was about to puke, and there were times where I was just like, what's going to happen next. So, George, what did you think overall about this?
I mean, I don't have, like, earrings, but, like, does that hurt? Like,
does that hurt?
Like, the gauges it has to. Like, I mean, oh, man. Like,
I got these little tiny baby studs.
And not even, like, not even that, but when he, like, got the screw and he kept twisting it, like, that's the visual that I have for this match right now. Like, it just, like, it makes me squirm, but, like, yeah. That's... Like, essentially, what you want as a wrestler is to get emotion out of the audience, yes. Right? And it's like, it got me, you know? And I think this match was, I think this match was awesome as well. I think this was much better than the main event Hell in a Cell match. Like, this match was brutal. Like, brutal the same way that, like, New Day Usos was last year, remember?
That match was nuts.
Yeah, that match was nuts. So I think this match itself was like, this match lived up to the Hell in a Cell, like, actual match itself.
Oh, yeah.
Bosa said the match, they give him 25 minutes to open, too. Like, that's a nice chunk of change. Yeah. Like I said, these are two legends, two Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers. It's just good to see them go to work. Like, it's kind of one of those matches, like, how did this come together? But they tore down. Jeff does what he always does, man. You know, he puts his life on the line for the fans and the crowd, you know, and then you see Randy doing what Randy does.
You know what's crazy, always think about, too, where it's like, you know, you have Matt Hardy. I don't know if he's retiring or not. You know, we've seen a lot of tweets and YouTube videos
about
sure
hanging
it up.
I'm pretty sure he's done.
And the big rumor is like he's kind of injuries catching up and whatnot.
Like a really bad.
Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be Jeff Hardy that hangs it up? Like, after everything that he's done, and Matt always kind of played it a little bit more safe than Jeff, but Jeff is the one that's still doing all these things. I think that's so crazy.
That's how it works, though. The people that really give their all
it's
and
so true.
Push and have ambition like that, they're the ones who stick
like,
it out.
I don't think Jeff's ever got hurt in wrestling. He always gets hurt, like, outside. Like, in a motocross bicycle accident, you know? I heard he never got hurt in wrestling.
Well, he must have got hurt tonight, because there was a lot of blood.
Good Lord.
But, man, like, the ear thing.
His ears must just be, because I took a little baby stud to my ear, and I'm like, that hurts.
I don't know. And then they just had, like, Orton was bleeding. There was a chunk of his leg that was, skin was just hanging.
Did you saw the picture?
I didn't see a picture, but while it was playing, I noticed it. While the match was playing out, saw a picture.
There was a picture where he put a picture of like something, and like they took something out of his
leg. True
Hell
in a Cell
something
match,
got
though.
Stuck in his leg.
Or I think it was his something that came out of him.
I'm sorry, what?
I mean, you'd have to look up the picture. Maybe I don't know.
Something came out of him, and they put it back in.
No, I don't know if they put. I don't even know what it was, but I mean. I'm sure people
blood.
Listening that are probably can find it. I know we have some videos, but let me try to find it while you guys talk.
Yeah, this was gory nonetheless, but I definitely agree with George. This match was what lived up to what Hell in a Cell truly means.
Hell in a Cell, yeah.
Yeah, and without the nasty.
What is it on the right?
Oh.
It looks like a worm.
It looks like a little seahorse.
Good
they pulled
Lord.
Out a seahorse out of
that
his leg.
That is like worse than the earlobe thing.
That was Randy Orton.
That's on Randy Orton's Instagram. So if you're interested in the picture, it's at Randy Orton. Yeah. Make sure you check it out if you're interested in the goriness.
But man,
I thought he was gonna
like rip his earlobe.
I don't even know how.
I thought that was like a thing.
Yeah, I almost wonder like what exactly are they telling each other before a match? Like what is okay? What are they allowing them to do to each other?
You know, just one of those guys, man. Let's burn it down.
Yeah.
Let's just do what we got to do. That's
just
Jeff,
reminded
man.
Me of like ECW.
All day. And I'm glad because every now and again, the fans need to get that little taste back, a little attitude era action, you know, a little ECW. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I know WWE wants to shift away and get sweet and cute, but this right here, fans are like, get that nostalgic feeling. All right, a little bit of, okay, a slobber knocker, brother, so to speak. You know.
Did you guys feel that this match even needed a sell?
I mean, like I said, I don't think the build-up itself needed the sell, just because it's like it was kind of their first major matchup on a pay-per-view. You know, I don't think that belongs in a sell for their first match. But I think the fact
lived
that
it up,
yeah, like I think it lived definitely lived up to the hype. It definitely. Like I know it was, maybe it was more so because Jeff been saying a lot he wants to be in a cell match. He's never been in a Hell in a Cell after everything else that he's done.
Crazy.
So I think it was more so maybe that. But again, I thought the match itself definitely like. Like it, like you said, lived up to the hype.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't even think like they really utilized the cell at all, but the intensity factor
and the brutality,
made it a Hell in a Cell. Yeah. So yeah, thank you guys for making my pay per view moment.
And that swing, like you know, he's gonna do something.
I was like, Jeff, what you doing, Jeff?
Yeah.
It's like with regular television, like people love drama and craziness, and that's why reality TV does so well. Well, this is why I like this match because although you know. I loved it, and there were gory moments and some squirmy parts. Even though you want to look away, you're still interested because you want to find out what happened
next. It was like, it's one of these where it's like, oh, my God, I can't look.
Seriously.
You're still and like you keeping poke, your yeah, eye
that's
open.
That's exactly what's like, between your eyes.
What are you doing? Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was a good match. I liked it. Last up, we had the pre-show that we're going to talk about. The New Day versus Rusev Day. And for me, it was a disappointment. Even though I love the New Day, I think it was Rusev's day. Time to shine. And unfortunately, they lost yet again.
Always losing.
George, what did you think about the loss?
I thought it was a good match. But honestly, I think Rusev should shine as a singles guy. And I'm not really that big a fan of Aiden English. I don't know why. But like, so I was okay with them losing.
Match was good, though.
Match was good. I'd rather see Rusev shine on his own. So I'm okay with Rusev Day not being champions.
A more serious question, Gabby. How did you feel like not seeing Kevin Owens?
Oh, my God. I thought for sure he was going to come out, especially during Bronze match or something.
Is your heart aching?
Well, maybe my baby needed his time off. You know, take a little rest before Monday.
Good match all in all, though. You know, I guess it's New Day. They're putting, like I said, they've really re-solidified the tag team divisions over these past couple of years. And Rusev, man, should he be in singles competition? Probably.
I think so.
Think it's running its course there. Stop trying to hide him in this tag team nonsense. He's well overdue. I don't know who he should go against. It don't matter. Just give him some hardware.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree with that because he was a singles player first, and he wasn't doing well. He went up against Randy Orton, and
didn't turn out for him. But people in People change. People grow.
And
his thing with Randy Orton was like 2 days, two years ago.
It's so true.
Like was it really? Totally, I feel like it was a year ago, year and a half.
But he's evolved since then. Like he's got the whole Rusev Day coming up, and he's back with Lana. And like people seem to be liking Lana.
Which is why he should stay in the tag team.
But he's like fitter somehow. He's like leaner, stronger,
and also
faster.
Too, like, and people that watch Total Divas, Rusev is hilarious.
Oh yeah, they all are.
He is so funny. Like I don't know why they never went back to like the handsome Rusev.
He's funny.
Like that whole thing had me rolling, and I still watch it to this day because I think it was so funny.
So good.
Yeah. But I think if they let him be a little bit more of him, I think he can be a huge, huge star.
I think it would be nice to also see Rusev and Lana maybe do a match with maybe Brie and Daniel or even Maryse and Miz, because they're also two really big stars in WWE that are on Total Bellas.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
So get them involved. You know, why aren't they doing more? Yeah, I don't know. I really liked it, but I also was disappointed. I love the New Day. They're fantastic wrestlers, fantastic personalities. They really complement each other.
I hated that promo, though. I hated that thing. The back locker rooms.
Oh, the booty worst
thing? It just went too long, though.
Oh, after the post one?
Yeah, when the guy with the pancakes thing. And it's too long. Yeah.
It's because they tried to incorporate different things, like the host character that Kofi plays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they had a lot going on in the backstage segment, but ultimately, like, the New Day is a really good tag team. They shine better together, in my opinion. And then Rusev Day does well, and the fans love them. So I don't know why they're not winning. So maybe, just maybe, at Australia, we'll see a difference.
A W. You might be right.
I hope so.
What are they doing in Australia? Because they already announced the New Day is going to face the Bar.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a great question. What are they doing? We have a few weeks to figure it out.
They'll be doing something in some capacity, unless they give Rusev singles.
And can I say real quick how crazy it is that like there's six stadium shows in the span of a year? They got Mania, Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
They got the Royal Rumble in Arizona Stadium. The Australia show, and then
that
Mania.
That is pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
But the Saudi Arabia one may not be.
They'll tell it. Why wouldn't they?
They will.
Because it's a lot. It's excessive.
It's not. They're not paying for it.
I mean, that's a lot of storylines you guys
Saudi
have to work for.
Are like, how much you need?
But we'll do anything.
So can I get something else too?
What?
I don't know. But like, there is. It's so crazy to me. Like, there's a lot of people that weren't even like Bobby Lashley. Mm-hmm. Like 2 months ago, he beat Roman Reigns on pay per view. Now he hasn't even been on the last two pay per views.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that aren't getting utilized. I mean, even Almas and Zelina, where are they? Yeah. They're great.
Do my best almost impression. I don't know if it's working or not.
Andrade.
There's a lot of WWE superstars that I would like to see more of, but I think maybe it's just not their time right now because they're not.
There are just too many people on the roster.
Yes. It's too many people,
like, too many
stories.
And then, like, I don't know, like, I mean, I read it. I go on the internet a lot to, like, see what's going on, but, like, I feel like every 2 days it's like, oh, WWE's interested in signing this person. It's like, dude, how do they have room to sign all these new people?
The bank account is endless, man. Yeah. Jeez,
and I mean, at SummerSlam, they just signed a new person, right?
Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
And there was like rumors they're going to sign like Pentagon and Phoenix.
They're like
and,
six females looking to sign with WWE. I go, and then,
how many of the girls from May and Clock are they going to sign?
At least three.
At least three. There's going to be a few, I'm sure.
But anyways,
it's craziness.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, what did you guys think overall? Any last thoughts of the pay-per-view for Hell in a Cell?
I mean, I think there were three really, really, really good matches. You know, the Jeff Hardy Orton, the Becky. Women's match, and the tag match. I think, like I said, I really liked the pay per view. I thought it was good. Again, just taking away my feelings toward the actual pay per view itself and why it needs to be there. I liked it better when it was meant something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'd give it better. Like you said, not the best. Doesn't mean it's not great.
What's right. a letter? Give me a letter grade, Georgie.
B.
Oh, that's not bad. That's pretty high grade.
That's like middle area.
I'll take a B. Yeah, it was about a B minus for me. It was fun. You know what I mean? Three great matches. What can you say? Like I said, the tag match was awesome. The ladies burning it down. So I'm always a fan of that. It's a good pay-per-view. Listen, I'm a WWE. I'm a wrestling guy. I'm watching. You know what I'm watching? Yeah. Something to do on Sunday. I was watching. You know you're a wrestling fan when football's over here and then WWE's right here and you're like looking like this. You know what I mean? So it was fun to watch. George, we get out of here. Where do you rank New Day in tag team lore?
Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We got another hour.
Yeah, it sounds like a loaded question.
Top five, top 10.
Not, why? See, you should have asked me that in the beginning.
I know, but
I have time to think about it in the back of my mind as you're talking. Mind
right now.
Because, like, I think Steiner Brothers are up there. I think Road Warriors are actually overrated. I think Dudley Boys are up there.
Man, the chat roll probably will light your ass up.
I think Steiners and Dudleys. If I really thought about it, it's really easy to say like top seven. That doesn't mean they're seventh, but like it's really easy.
That's amazing.
But I think that's easy to classify just because like of their success in the last 4 years, mm-hmm. like especially today, because obviously people want to compare, you know, 80s tag teams and 90s tag teams, but it's like, in the fast forward, you know, era that we live today, where like nothing lasts forever, the fact that New Day has been on top for like pretty much 4 years,
pretty impressive.
Like that's insane. You know, what's another great tag team like
Hardy Boys?
Yeah, Usos. Like you look at the Hardy Boys. Like they started in what 99. They weren't together for 4 years.
Wow.
You know? Usos, but they're twins, though. But, like... true.
So.
Like I said, I mean, I rank the Dudley Boys up there.
But Hardy Boys are they technically brothers in real life or what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
That's
twins and brothers, like, come on.
But I mean, like, I feel like with Jeff Matt, they're so distinct with their personality that, like, it was easy for them to break apart. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's almost as if, like, the Usos, that's kind of like a double-edged sword where, like, you can be the best tag team in the world, but, like, if they ever want to break into singles, like... It might not work out that well, you know?
Mm. I just want to throw that out there, see what you think.
Yeah, well, but I think New Day is up there. I mean, especially, and I was thinking about it today. I think Kofi, as a tag team wrestler, may be even better than, like, let's say, like Billy Gunn. Because Billy Gunn's one of the best tag team wrestlers of all time.
Ever.
I think Kofi's, like, maybe number two or number three.
Yo, chat roll, what's up? What y'all think New Day's at in the top of all-time tag teams, man? Y'all just...
Because I got Steiner. Again, I'm going to get so much heat for this. I think LOD's overrated. I think LOD's way overrated.
I mean, listen, you're allowed to have your opinion, but in the end, New Day is amazing, and they definitely deserve to be in the top at least 10.
Well, George is dangerous.
This was overall a good pay-per-view for Hell in a Cell. I give it a B also, so I agree with both of you guys. I'm excited to see what's going to happen next in storyline for Australia and then Women's Evolution, that pay-per-view. So hopefully we'll be around for that. Do you guys want to let us know where we can follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, G Hermosa, GHARMOZA. September 27th, you can come out to the Moose Lodge in Burbank, California. You both are invited.
Ooh.
I will be wrestling for Wrestling Pro Wrestling.
Ooh. Oh, I'll be there.
Awesome.
Yeah, Thursday at 8:30. The show starts at 8:30, but I think my match is
on Thursday. I'm on Thursday. It's meant to be. Evan T. Mac, Instagram, and Twitter. Gabby, put yourself over. Brother.
Thanks, Evan. Sister, you mean?
Sister.
Huh?
Put yourself over, sister.
So you guys can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at GabbyLorenTV. And I'm also hosting an AfterBuzz for SmackDown on Tuesday nights. We usually start around 9:15 PST. Check it out. And also, Women of Wrestling, they are shooting their live show alongside Comic-Con October 10th and 11th, and you can get those tickets on Ticketmaster.com. Thank you guys so much for joining us to break down Hell in a Cell tonight. We will see you next time at the next WWE event.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.